It was the summer of 2001, and the movie release schedule was packed with action films, remakes, sequels, and video game adaptations. All in all, not much has really changed, but for a moment, let's consider the films released just in the summer 20 years ago. The Mummy Returns, A Knight's Tale, The Fast and the Furious 1, Tomb Raider, AI, Pearl Harbor, Planet of the Apes, Rush Hour 2, Princess Diaries, and of course, America's Sweethearts. For myself, and I can only imagine it's probably true for a lot of Jurassic fans that are also around the age of 30, but JP3 was the first Jurassic film I saw in the theater. And it's also a film that had me constantly checking fan sites for any plot details, rumors, pictures, titles, whatever there was, like, I needed to know. And for most fans, this was the legendary Dan's JP3 page. If you wanted to know the latest rumor, this is where you went. It had everything. So 7th grade ends. It's summer, counting down the days till July 18th. Luckily, for me, my father was taking me, my brother, and my sister to Florida in July. And it just happened to line up with the July 18th release of JP3. And even in this just barely pre-9/11 world, we weren't really fans of flying, so we took Amtrak, the train. Side note real quick, Amtrak is amazing. If you haven't been on Amtrak and you live in America, get out there, see the country. If you really want to see the US, get on a train, go 35 miles per hour as you travel to Chicago to San Francisco. Sure, it might take you a week, but you'll meet new people. You'll play Pokemon with strangers. You'll eat microwave pizza for lunch and dinner. And sure, you might run over a person or two, but it's kind of amazing, and I seriously do recommend it. Now, before the trip, my mom bought me and my brother the JP3 Dino Guide and the novelization of the film. So, we arrive in Orlando, and soon we make our way over to my aunt's house. We spend a week with my aunt, grandma, uncle, cousins, enjoy family, good time all around. The day before JP3 is out, we go to Universal Studios, Islands of Adventure, for the first time ever. If you've never been there and you're a fan of Jurassic Park or Harry Potter or a dozen other films, start planning, start saving. If you need a garbage pick and scrap metal, do it. I've done it. It's not horrible. There are definitely worse ways to make an extra buck. As a huge fan of Jurassic Park and being only 13 years old at the time, walking through the gates, the mist, the John Williams music is completely magical. And for those that don't know me, I am terrified of roller coasters. Anything with a drop, I hate it. More recently, I went accidentally on a junior coaster. I think it was like the Flight of the Hippogriff. And within 5 seconds, I knew I had made a terrible mistake. You can call it a kid's coaster, call it a junior coaster. To me, it was like the Millennium Force at Cedar Point. It was absolutely terrifying. I don't recommend it. So we're walking through JP3 land, and I know we're approaching the Jurassic Park River Adventure, but I honestly had no idea what it consisted of. I mean, I was 13, it's 20 years ago. I just didn't know. Waiting in line and watching the videos, I saw the ending drop, but to be fair, like 70% of the drop is covered. So from the outside, you don't really comprehend how big of a drop it is. So for me, I just told myself, hey, maybe it's a 20-foot drop. I'm a fan. How can I be such a huge fan and be afraid of that? Like, this is, we're here, I'm gonna do this. So we climb on the ride. Not too terrified yet. You briefly go uphill about 20 feet, 30 feet, which makes sense because of the drop at the end. Okay, no problem. The raft levels out and then it's a Jurassic World. Just peacefully cruising along the river, dinosaurs popping out of the water, there's music, it's summer, JP3 is coming out, everything is beautiful. Then, all of a sudden, there's an announcement. Apparently, somehow there are animals loose, dinosaurs have broken out. I mean, this is like ridiculous. And I'm like, wait, what the f-? Sirens are going off. I'm starting to realize I may have made a mistake. It's not a fully formed realization, but there's like a hint of this was a bad idea. It's slowly forming. And then I see it. The raft is about to enter a dark warehouse looking building, and that's not it. It has now become clear to me that I have indeed made a terrible mistake. The drop at the end can in no way be only 20 feet. Before the ride, I'm like, I'm a tough guy, bring it on, let's go, let's do this. Now, I'm looking for the emergency shutoff switch. Just completely terrified, I'm looking around, is there anybody I can like half stop this ride? I would gladly get off and just be done with it, like I'm good. I want like the first, you know, 70% of the ride. I want the piece. I have that, you know, sick, terrible, nervous, anxiety feeling in my stomach, rethinking all my decisions that led to this. Will I survive this? I've never been on a true roller coaster with like a drop like this. I don't know if I can handle it. Will I pass out? Will I vomit? The raft reaches the top and then boom, chaos. It's dark, there's flashing lights, there's dinosaurs. I think I hear like an employee like yelling like, get out of the building. It's a worst case scenario at this point. The raft drops maybe 15 feet and it felt like 200. More strobe lights going off, dinosaurs popping out. Everyone around me is having a good time. Like they're cool with, they have no idea. It's too dark, they don't know that I'm like cowering, just gripping the seat in front of me, they have no idea. I've completely blocked out the dinosaurs. I don't care about that anymore. I'm trying to think how to best handle this upcoming drop. How do I position myself in the seat to not pass out or vomit over everybody? Just projectile vomiting over my family, the stranger in front of me, behind me, like just a 360. I am thinking everything because I have no idea. I've never experienced this before. Quickly running out of time, I go with a side hunch where you kind of lean to the side and forward, hoping to keep your stomach in your stomach. It's like a weird side position. Nobody else noticed this, but I was like, thinking way too much about it. Then the massive T-Rex head appears and I knew this was it. This was my end. As the T-Rex roars, the raft just drops beneath it. And this was a solid 85 foot drop and a pretty significant drop. I don't know how to describe it. Even now, when I go on the ride, it's pretty terrifying. At least I know what to expect at this point. And back in 2001, I don't have the picture to prove how terrifying this was for me. I do have the picture from 2015, and you will clearly see that I never grew up because I have the same vomit protecting pose. It's the same thing, just older. You can check out my Instagram at StuckOnSorna, and you can probably find that picture. So that was dreadful, but of course, after that, I started to think, okay, yeah, I did it. Wasn't that scary, big deal, whatever. In the end, I'm just glad I went on the ride because, like I said, the first 70% of that ride is glorious. It's pure Jurassic Park. The following day, we get to see Jurassic Park 3. Me, my brother, my dad, my uncle, and my cousin Margaret. Now, one of the reasons I remember this experience so well is because my cousin Margaret brought a book to the movie theater. A book. The lights are down, and she's reading a book. Anytime there was light in the scene, she quickly went back to reading. I will never forget this. She might deny it to this day, but you just don't forget. Now, I've grown to love the film, but my initial reaction was not an enthusiastic one. It was very different than the previous two, and it was much shorter, just like a very abrupt ending. The film starts with the Universal logo, which quickly moves to a super zoomed in shot of the moon, which pulls back to reveal the Amblin logo, Elliot pedaling his bike with E.T., classic. Suddenly, there are ripples. The ripples transition the Amblin logo into the words Jurassic Park. Then all of a sudden, three slashes. On first viewing, and even to this day, I love this. But it's what happens next that made it really clear this third film was going to be different. There's this incredible, beautiful shot of Isla Sorna. And then, in what can best be described as blood red, the word restricted appears in all caps. Even as a 13-year-old, I can remember thinking, okay, that's different. And honestly, after the film ended, I was not thinking this is my favorite. I remember the next day calling my mom, who was back home in Ohio, and she asked if I liked the film. And I was not saying it was amazing. A lot of that was built up anticipation, and then the film ending so abruptly at 90 minutes. Not long after, I saw the film again in theaters, and when it was released on VHS in December, I was immediately at York Video renting it. And on Christmas Day, of course, I now have my own copy and watched it nonstop like it was a condition. Even to this day, it's a movie I'll put on to watch or simply have on in the background. It's my favorite of the JP films, but I do of course acknowledge the first Jurassic Park is the best in the franchise. Something about JP3 makes it my favorite. I just love it. There's something about the film that has captured my interest even 20 years later. While some of the critics and fans, and even at times Universal's own Twitter account, seem to disregard the film, I will defend it, and I'll do it easily. This is one of the goals of the podcast, to showcase the memorable moments, the hard work of the crew, and why this film is so enjoyable. Now, having said that, this podcast will take you into a world which a new director and multiple writers were tasked with creating a third film in a massively successful franchise. If you've ever read about JP3, then you probably know of the issues the creative team faced. Rumors of script problems, multiple scripts, no final ending. There's a lot to talk about. So whether you love the film or not, I hope you learn a few things and come to understand what goes into the making of a film for a major studio, especially when there's a hard deadline for its release. So I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I do apologize for some of the audio issues. I'm not a professional when it comes to audio, and some of these interviews were done a few years ago, and at the time, depending who I'm interviewing, they're not always comfortable with technology or Skype or Zoom. Sometimes it was literally talking on the phone and recording, so the audio isn't always that great, but hopefully it's entertaining, hopefully you learn some stuff, and hopefully you look at JP3 a little bit differently. I really do think JP3 is a film that deserves a little bit more respect and appreciation. Hopefully when the podcast is over, you'll look back and say, you know what, that's a pretty good film, and if not, that's okay. And you can always follow me on Twitter and Instagram at StuckOnSorna. On the next episode.
Once I got hired, they still wouldn't give me a script. And I didn't even read the script until my first day on the job. And even then, I had to read it in the lobby of the right outside Joe's door, in full view of the receptionist. That kind of was the receptionist for both Larry and Joe had the same receptionist who was there, and she had to watch me. Big your head, no kettle. Big your head, no brain. Big snake.